Please turn back with me to Luke's Gospel, to the 17th chapter, and to those 9 verses that we read together just a few moments ago. My aim this evening is simply, with God's help, to encourage you to glorify God for his cleansing mercies from a believing and thankful heart. It's your responsibility, in a sense, to respond to that aim tonight, which is to encourage us all to glorify God for his cleansing mercies, and to do that from a believing and a thankful heart. We're going to take these nine verses in two. First of all, we're going to look together at the cleansing mercy of God. The cleansing mercy of God. We're going to see together here tonight an act of God, which is an act of mercy, and an act of God which cleanses that which is unclean. And that is relevant to every single one of us here this evening, because the living God is at work today. He's still demonstrating his glorious mercies, and we by nature are unclean and need to be cleansed, and only he can cleanse us. So please listen very carefully this evening, because this is so relevant for you. You're going to hear us something which nothing else can be more relevant to you than to hear about the cleansing mercies of God. Firstly, notice from verse 11 that Luke gives us another geographical note. He tells us that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus, as you know from chapter 9, verse 51, I think, has set his face as flint to go to Jerusalem. That's why he's come from heaven. He's come to go to Jerusalem to demonstrate the glorious mercy of God in laying down his life for us on the cross. That's where he's heading, even on this occasion. He's passing between the borders of Samaria and Galilee. He's on the final leg to the cross. We're about to hear a question from the Pharisees about the coming of the kingdom of God. And this very encounter, which we're going to see here together this evening, demonstrates that the kingdom has arrived in the person of the king, who is Jesus. We simply read here that he enters a certain village where he comes across what must have been the most pitiful sight. There are 10 men with leprosy, and they stand afar off from him. The reason these 10 men stand afar off is because of their condition. They are lepers. We've mentioned this condition before, so was Luke back in chapter 5. We can look at 3 aspects of this condition. Let's look at firstly at the condition. It was a medical condition. It was a horrible skin and nerve disease. When the Lord Jesus saw these 10, he would doubtless have seen lesions and swollen areas. He would have looked at 10 very unsightly men. The condition which these men were suffering from was something which anaesthetized the body. It so worked through them that it left them no sensations to protect them from self-inflicted destruction. We can read many horrid cases of leprosy, where people with leprosy, because they have no sensation left, are able to pick objects out of a fire because they don't feel the burning. And yet, of course, they burn. We read of cases of lepers walking across splintered glass without realising the harm being done to their body. One of the most famous doctors of leprosy was Dr. Brand, and one way in which he cared for his patients was to provide them with cats. And the cats were helpful because they chased off the rats and the mice at night. Because very often when a leper lay down and slept, the mice and the rats would come out and start gnawing away at the body, and the leper wouldn't feel the mice and the rats gnawing at their bodies. And so Dr. Brand had the ingenious idea of giving them cats to chase the rats and the mice away. It truly is a horrid medical condition. Destruction follows the disease solely because the warning system of pain has gone. And very often, as you see on the streets of many capital cities in the world today, there are men and women with open, festering wounds, limping on twisted legs, gradually becoming more and more disfigured and increasingly repulsive to others. The 10 men who Jesus met on this occasion were suffering from a grotesque medical condition that led to death and destruction. Another dimension of this condition was socially, because it made you repulsive to others. You were, quite frankly, on the outside, ugly. You were unsightly. You were likely to be smelly. You were totally, therefore, abandoned by society. Nobody welcomed you. Nobody came and put an arm around you. Nobody spoke to you. You were rejected by your family and by society. You were an outcast. In fact, people had to keep their distance from you. The rabbis worked out that you couldn't stand within 6 foot of the leper if you were downwind of them. But you could stand upwind, well, you had to be 100 feet away from them. Such was the smell. Here were 10 men in the most pitiable of conditions. They had to have covered the lower part of their face. They had to go around shouting, unclean and unclean. Here they were, socially deprived, medically in agony. And then the third dimension, well, there was something else about leprosy of a spiritual nature. Leprosy was understood in these days to be a judgment of God. That's how it was seen. Such a view arose from God's response in the Old Testament to the sins of Miriam, the sins of Gehazi, the sins of Uzziah. They all had leprosy visited upon them by God as a judgment. And yet Christ in his ministry taught concerning, for example, the blind man in John chapter 9, that illnesses and afflictions are not necessarily a sign of individual judgment, but are now part of human existence in a wretched, fallen, sad, disfigured world. But once a man or woman was deemed leprous, they were totally abandoned by society. They were deemed to be ceremonially unclean. And so anybody who touched them was defiled too. They couldn't worship with the others in the temple. Leviticus chapter 13 and Numbers chapter 5 outline the law of how they were to treat those who were spiritually unclean through their leprosy. That's the first thing I want you to notice here this evening. We're looking at the cleansing mercy of God. First of all, we need to understand something of the condition that these men were in. But there's a lesson too for us here tonight. I doubt any one of us here tonight has leprosy. But there is a condition which is pictured for us here in leprosy, which every single one of us was born with. Because leprosy represents both a cocktail of actual misery for those who suffer from it, but a parable of the deepest spiritual woes known to mankind. That is, that leprosy speaks to us of the actual wretched disfigurement of sin, and the consequent rejection and destruction of the sinner. And it's a universal condition. We're all sinners. We've all sinned. We're all disfigured with something far more serious than leprosy. And that is sin. We've all turned our own way. We've all rejected God. We've all declared unilaterally a declaration of independence. We think that we know best. We're quite happy to go our ways and not to have this man, this God, to reign over us. And the Bible tells us that that leaves us in the most miserable condition of all. That we were conceived, that we were born as spiritual lepers. That we were born repulsive and offensive to a holy God, on account of our rebellion and pride. In a condition that leads to death and destruction, we are unclean, we are separated from the living God, and if we continue in that condition, we will face an endless condemnation from the living God. And I wonder whether you've ever seen yourself as a spiritual leper. I wonder whether you've ever noticed the truth that all of your desires are twisted. Just as they were medically for the leper, so our desires now are twisted. They're not in conformity with God's word. They're not pure. They're not upright. Something taints all of our desires. Something taints all of our thoughts. Those desires and thoughts are twisted and deformed. There's a very real sense in which none of us walk upright, by which I don't mean physically. I mean morally and spiritually. We all walk in a crooked way, not in line with how God has set us to walk by the beauty of his word. And the truth of the Bible is that as unclean, we cannot approach God in his holiness and live. We're looking first together this evening at the cleansing mercies of God. And to do that, we're looking first at the condition of these men. And what their condition reminds us of is true for us in our sin. Notice secondly from the condition, there's then a cry. You see, these men are in the privileged position of recognising what is wrong with them. And of course, the great distortion of sin is that we do not realise what is wrong with us. We do not accept the truth of God's word. And so we are not prone to cry out in the same way that these men cried out. But notice that their condition led them to cry out. They lifted up their voices. They called Jesus Master. And they made one plea to him, one request, one desire was on their hearts. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. What a simple prayer that is. What a glorious desire that is to be found in the human heart. What made these men cry out to this man walking through their village? Well, they must have heard of Jesus, and you've heard of Jesus. They must have heard of his ministry to lepers. You've heard of his ministry to sinners. They must have heard of his willingness and power to make lepers whole. And you've heard of his power to make the sinner whole. You've heard week by week that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. They've heard of his authority over disease. You've heard of his authority over sin and death and hell and Satan. They recognise his authority by calling him Master. What do you recognise of him here tonight? They recognise their condition, and their condition calls them to cry out, and they call to him for mercy. Jesus, please do not treat us in the way in which we deserve to be treated. Have you realised from the scriptures what will happen to you if you are treated in the way you deserve? Have you seen the filth of your sin? Have you seen its corruption? Have you seen how offensive we are as sinners in the hands of an angry God? Won't you here this evening cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ? These 10 men, these 10 outcasts, these 10 men without hope, suddenly found in Jesus Christ a unique hope for them. And you will find a unique hope for an eternity. Because Jesus offers the disfigured sinner the only hope there is. You won't find any hope in anybody else this evening. You won't find it in yourself. You won't find it in your religion. You won't find it in your doing good. The only hope for you this evening is that Jesus Christ will make you whole. That Jesus Christ will have mercy upon you. That he, the living God, who is rich in mercy and delights to show mercy, might be merciful to you, a sinner. That's what they found. Their hearts must have gone with an extra beat as they realised that here was someone who could help them. Here was somebody in whom they could put their hope. And my friend, Jesus is exactly the same for you here tonight. In this one encounter in Luke chapter 17, the response of Jesus to these 10 lepers gives us a glorious insight into his compassion and condescension in dealing not only with lepers in his day, but with sinners throughout time. Here is the compassionate and powerful and merciful Jesus being known to you again here this evening. This little encounter encapsulates the whole of why Jesus Christ came down to heaven and died on a cross for you and me. That which was impossible with men, the cleansing of lepers, was possible with God. That which was repulsive to men, the leper, was loved by Christ Jesus. And so he raised them from their hopelessness. And he does the same today for sinners who are lost and in darkness and living an empty life without God and without hope. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. And Jesus Christ alone this evening can cleanse you of your sin, because he has provided all that's necessary to cleanse you. You can spend the whole of your life under a tap rubbing your hands with soap, trying to be cleansed on the outside. It won't wash away your sin. You can do all the penance that you think you need to do before a holy God. You can climb up on your knees of a mountain. You can cut yourself rigid. It won't wash away your sin. Jesus only is able to cleanse you from your sin because he alone carried the foul weight of sin in his own body on the tree, as we're reminded at the Lord's table at lunchtime today. It was there on the cross that Jesus died in our place. It was there that he was wounded for our transgressions, that he took our sins and our sorrows, and he made them his very own. It's because he has paid the price for our sin, dying that we might live, that he alone is able to cleanse you from your sin this evening. Do you realise that in a few moments' time you're going to go through those doors, you're going to turn left, you're going to go across the car park, and some of you have come in with your sin and you're in danger of going out with your sin. And your sin can be lost here once and for all tonight. Jesus the Christ can cleanse you once and for all from all of your sin here this evening. That which separates you from the living God, Christ himself bore on the cross in a radical act when he gave himself in the place of others. They felt their condition, and so they cried. If there's one thing I could do for other men and women, it would be to make them feel their condition of sin, and I can't do it. And nobody else can do it either. Only God, the Holy Spirit, can convict of sin. Oh, if you only saw, those of you who are outside of Christ, if you only saw what is true of you this evening, how then you would cry to Jesus for mercy. Notice thirdly that when they cried, he gave them a command. He didn't heal them there and then. He told them to go and show themselves to the priests as a testimony to the priests, because Jesus was going to heal them. The priests were the health inspectors of the day. When you were cleansed from your leprosy, you had to go to them, and they declared, yes, you had indeed been cleansed from it. And so Jesus sends these 10 off, not yet cleansed, to go and see the priests, because he's going to cleanse them, and they're going to stand before the priests, and the priests are going to be able to say, yes, you've been cleansed from your sin. They're going to get a clean bill of health from the health inspectors. And here on this occasion, all 10 of them take Jesus at his word and obey his command. Go and show yourselves to the priest. Well, what? But we're still lepers. Believing in the word of Jesus, taking him at his word, giving no excuse, they all obeyed him and went off to show themselves to the priests. Now, Jesus' command to you tonight is not go and show yourself to the priest. Jesus' command to all men everywhere this evening is repent of your sin and believe the good news. Turn from your sin and believe the good news. Take me at my word. I am God in the flesh. I have died for sin. There is forgiveness only with me. Come to me. Turn from your sin and believe upon me, and you will be cleansed. You will be saved. That's the command. So from their condition, they cry. From the cry, they receive the command. And then lastly, as we look at the first half of these verses, we read that as they went, they were cleansed. On this occasion, Jesus didn't touch them. They're cleansed at a distance by his power. And these men, whose skin would have been thickened and ulcerated and scaled, suddenly became whole. Those hands that were twisted and gnarled and distorted by multiplied accidents caused by numbness were suddenly made whole. They suddenly had feeling returned to their hands and to their feet. They could stand upright. They could feel the wonderful sensations of movement. They could soon touch others and be touched. And you know, the cleansed lepers here provide us a close parallel to the work of Jesus in our own lives when we come and trust him. Because if you're a Christian here this evening, then you've been cleansed. If you're a Christian here this evening, then you are a new creation. No more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God, you stand. The old patterns, the old habits, the old ways of sin have gone, and everything is new, the Bible says, because God has set you apart exclusively for Himself. You've been cleansed. If you're a Christian here this evening, not only have you been cleansed, but it means that you've come to hear His voice and to follow Him gladly and obediently and faithfully and to walk with Him each and every day of your life. And to be cleansed by Christ is to remove all the old condemnation felt by the demands of the law and to have your conscience made clean and whole by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It must have been a wonderful experience for these 10 as they turned from all their gnarlness, all of their disfigurement, all of their deformity to suddenly stand upright and whole. And if you come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you now know that you are righteous before God. Your sin will never ever be counted against you, no, not once. And you are made to be at peace with the eternal judge forever and forever. This is the cleansing mercy of God. A terrible condition. A heartfelt cry. A command from the Lord Jesus to which they showed their obedience. And there, instantaneously, once and for all, they were cleansed. Do you know the cleansing mercies of God this evening? Do you know that when we even say that sentence, yes, there's something that needs to be cleansed. And it's me. When I sing that hymn, guilty, vile, and helpless we. Yes, Lord Jesus, that's me. Lord Jesus, there's an inward bias at the very heart of my life which is away from you and goes its own way. I've rebelled against you. I've rejected your authority. I won't have you to reign over me. My friend, you need to be cleansed. And that work can only be done by the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, and more briefly, notice how we are to respond to the cleansing mercy of God. My aim tonight is to encourage you to glorify God for His cleansing mercies from a believing, thankful heart. What are you to do in the light of this wonderful offer of mercy from the living God? Well, quite simply, the Bible says you're to repent and to believe. To call upon Jesus for His mercy. Have you ever called upon Jesus? Ever just sat there in the quiet of your own life and spoken to Him? Ever lifted your eyes and your heart and your voice to Him? And acknowledged that He was true and real? And that He alone could forgive you and cleanse you? We'll soon be in Luke chapter 18 when a man stands in the temple beating his breast with a simple prayer, which is a number of people's prayers first thing in the morning. God, be merciful to me. There he simply says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the sinner's prayer. Coming to an end of yourself. Seeing something of the foulness of your sin and its awful consequences. Seeing no hope within yourself, but knowing, because you've been told and you've heard, that there's a joyful sound that Jesus saves. And saying, Jesus, please have mercy on me. I deserve your wrath. I deserve your punishment. Yet I know and hear that with you there is compassion, which you delight to show. Jesus, please be merciful to me. You see, you can't doubt that Jesus is merciful. He's demonstrated His mercy and cleansing power by coming from heaven to go to the cross for you. To die in our place as a sacrifice for our sin, raised from the dead on the third day. What a terrible thing to hear once again of the mercies of God and not to receive them. It's Peter, isn't it? He says, we were once a people who hadn't received mercy, but now we have received mercy. Can I ask you individually tonight, have you received this mercy from Christ? Be cleansed by his mercy here this evening. Have you not seen the awful condition of your sin? Are you not concerned this evening? Will you not cry as we sometimes sing, today his mercy calls you to wash away your sin. Not tomorrow, today. Today his mercy is calling you to wash away your sin. And the one who's calling you is one who himself, the King of Glory, was treated on the cross for you as a spiritual leper. We read from Isaiah 53 this morning. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. The Lord of Glory came to be treated as a spiritual leper for his people. He was stricken and smitten by God, cut off and forsaken, that the foul sin of all who believed in him might once and for all be taken away, laid upon him as he was punished for it. Have you not seen that out of love for his people, the Son of God was made repulsive and grotesque and hideous sin and a curse, in order that his people might live. How are you to respond to the cross this evening? Does it mean nothing to you? Can you honestly pass it by again this evening and shrug your shoulders at the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died? In faith, the ten took him at his word. That's what faith is. They all responded by the obedience of faith. And faith is crucial. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. When the one returns, Jesus says to the one, arise, your faith has made you well. One of a number of occasions in Luke's Gospel where he says to someone, your faith has saved you, your faith has made you well, your faith has healed you. No one is cleansed, no one is saved from their sin, but by the exercise of faith. If you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be saved. If you believe not, you will be damned. How am I to respond to the cleansing mercies of God? I'm to humble myself and repent and believe. Secondly, I'm to glorify him loudly with thankfulness. Notice there was 10 of them, but this one who returns, and we read here that he returns with praise. He's physically and socially restored, remarkably and wonderfully, by the work of God. And it's a beautiful picture that the one who just earlier had to stand afar off now comes to the very feet of Jesus and falls on his face. That's a picture of the cleansed man or woman. But whereas once we stand afar off from this holy God, when we're cleansed of our sin, we come and we're welcomed at his feet, where we're to fall on our face and to worship him and to glorify him loudly with thankfulness. It's thought that lepers would have had rather weak voices. It's noted here that he praises God loudly. Here is one who comes to see personally and understand what Jesus Christ has done for him. God has worked a miracle through the Lord Jesus. A supernatural act has been done in the life of this one leper. In fact, all 10 of them, but only he comes back and publicly acknowledges how thankful he is to the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever said thank you to Jesus? Have you ever thanked him for his goodness to you? Have you ever thanked him for saving your soul? Ever thanked him for cleansing you from sin by himself being made a spiritual leper for you on the cross? ever fallen at his feet in worship and glorified him. To glorify God is to extol his attributes, to express his greatness. Have you ever told Jesus just how great you recognize him to be? Because he's your Lord and your Saviour. How are we to respond to the cleansing mercies of God? Well, in belief, with a believing heart, and great thankfulness. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. You went to Calvary and there you died for me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. You rose up from the grave, new life to me you gave. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Has that sentiment and those words been completely absent from your life? Have you never had cause to say, thank you, Lord, for loving me? Thank you, Lord, for cleansing me from all of my sin. The way to respond to the cleansing mercies of God is to live a life that overflows with thankfulness and frequent praise for Calvary. To fall at his feet in humble adoration and to make much of our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful that he should have saved you. How wonderful that he should have cleansed you. How wonderful that your name should be written on the palm of his hand. How wonderful that your name should be written across his breast, across his heart, tonight as our great high priest. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Are you a thankful believer here this evening? Is your life marked with thankfulness, a loud thankfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ for cleansing you from all of your sin? The last thing to notice this evening is that this response comes from the most unlikely source. And that's why it's possible this evening that it might yet come from you. Because this man here is a leper. He's an outcast. Nobody had any time for him. But almost worse, he was a Samaritan. Which means he was despised and he was hated, as the most despised and hated groups are on the earth here this evening. It even suggests to us that the other nine were probably Jewish lepers. But it was the one in ten, it was the foreigner, it was the Samaritan who comes back to Jesus. And to highlight this, Jesus asks three questions. Were not all ten cleansed? Didn't all ten experience God's mercy? Where are they? The nine, where are they? He says. Where's their thankfulness? Where's their praise? It's a rebuke to them. Are you being rebuked here this evening for your thanklessness in response to God's cleansing mercies to you? Jesus' final question is, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And the word Jesus uses there is the word which is found in the temple, saying, from this barrier forth, you are not allowed to go. Foreigners are not allowed in the inner temple. They were barred, they were excluded, they were outcasts. And yet it was the despised outcast who came back and humbled himself and thanked Jesus. The foreigner responds in a way that Israel doesn't. The tax collector and the sinner, they respond as the self-righteous Pharisee doesn't. All around these verses, Jesus has been teaching both his disciples and the Pharisees. The disciples are those who've humbled themselves and looked to Jesus for mercy. And the Pharisees are those who are so self-righteous, they do not recognize their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. So arrogant and proud and stubborn are they. It's the outsider who's come in. It's the outcast who has been saved. Israel is rejecting her Saviour. And quite simply this evening, if we sense our need of Christ, we'll come to him and we'll call and he'll cleanse us. And if we know that he has cleansed us, then we'll glorify him in loud thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. And if you know those words sometimes, occasionally on your lips and in your heart, thank you, Lord, for loving me, can I encourage you as we close to go on glorifying God for his cleansing work in you. Go and proclaim to others the power of this merciful Saviour. Why don't you set yourself this week prayerfully just to speak to one other person about Jesus? Somebody else that you can speak to. Give your testimony. Tell them what you heard at church on Sunday. Just one person you can pray over and seek that the Lord would give you that opportunity this week to glorify him for his cleansing mercy by speaking to others about him. Won't you glorify him this week by praying for the work of the Holy Spirit, that as these lepers felt their condition, so men and women and young people in your families who you know and whom you love would have their eyes opened to the wretchedness and spiritual disfigurement of their sin. One way to glorify God for his cleansing mercies to us is to pray that he would do for others what he's done for us. Lord, open the eyes of the blind, please, that they might see. And the third and final way to glorify the merciful God for his cleansing power is to then live as those who have indeed been cleansed. Lord, once we had not received mercy, now we have received mercy. Lord, once we were not cleansed. Lord, once we were filthy, but now we've been cleansed by nothing less than the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And the best way that you can respond to the cleansing mercies of God when you've repented and believed the good news is to live a life of faith. To delight yourself in the cleanser of your sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. To live in obedience to him, to seek to please him in every way, to live a life that overflows with thankfulness each and every day. Indeed, a life that's merciful, even as he has been merciful to you. Oh, that we would live lives together which demonstrate that we've been cleansed. God has done the most wonderful and merciful thing in our lives. If we're Christians here this evening, we've been cleansed of our sin. We've been born of his Spirit. We've been raised to newness of life in our Lord Jesus Christ. If that's not happened to you, then this evening, don't leave the seat where you're sitting before you turn from your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you rejoice together this evening that you have been cleansed, then live a thankful life. Go and proclaim this cleansing power to somebody else. Go and pray that God would open their eyes, that they would see and feel their need of a Saviour and be brought to repentance and faith. And go out this week and live a beautiful life that commends the Lord Jesus Christ to those who are watching you each and every day of your life. Go and adorn the doctrine. Go and live for Jesus, not from a lukewarm heart, not from a half heart. Go and live for him with your whole being in thanksgiving for his cleansing mercy to you.